Somebody asked me, well, a number of you asked me through email, what happened to me? I'm glad Nick Lee's here tonight. He'll appreciate this story. I've really been working on my deadlift, and I'd been up to 700 pounds, but I really thought I'd go for 800. And last Thursday, well, I'm paying the price. And secondly, I'm joking, by the way. I wanted to thank the person who sent the $5,000 Chipotle card. I don't even know how to say thank you for that, but what a blessing to my life. I'm joking about that, too. Okay, this is a lively crowd. I guess, Grandpa, I have to share with you all tonight. My sciatic has been acting up real bad. Actually, it has been. Oh, my gosh. Last Thursday, I woke up and went to brush my teeth and fell to the floor, and yeah, it was really bad, and it's been bad. So I've been kind of on my back for 7 days, and the only way I'm keeping up with people is my wife's iPad, and I hold it at a certain angle, and I tap with one finger, and wow, am I glad I don't have to do that all the time. But anyway, it was very, very kind of you for so many to write, and I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate your prayers. So today I thought, well, I'm going to try to move around. I'd really like to be here if I can. And so as this moment, I'm not in pain. But if I fall to the floor, just say a prayer as I rise to be with the Lord. Okay. So anyway, okay. You got to have a little fun, right? We just got to have a little fun. Life's too short. You know, I'll tell you one thing, though. This is the truth. No, all joking aside. It made me deep, much more empathetic. You know, the Lord just always kind of working on my empathy muscle and my compassion muscle. I think I've been a work in progress for 42 years since I started following the Lord. And overall in my life, I've been blessed with pretty good health. I mean, other than whooping cough, other than infections, other than root canals, you know, we could go on and on. But it made me deeply sympathetic for those of you that are often bedridden or dealing with something that just won't go away. And boy, I thought about that a lot this week. I thought, wow, Lord, what if this just didn't go away? And what if this is just my new reality? And I don't think it's going to be, but gee, many Christmas. We'll just have to find out. But my heart just sure goes out to all of you. I want you to know that. And I do pray for so many of you that I know are suffering by name. And I saw little Joya. Did she come in tonight in the little wheelchair? So our little Joya had foot surgery, last Thursday or Friday, didn't she? Friday. I would have come, but I was just flat on my back. And but she was in our prayers. And so anyway, why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer, and we'll just dive into this. Lord, I do just thank you, Father, so much for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve your generosity. I don't deserve the future, Lord, that I'm going to have, all of us, new bodies that'll never get sick and never tired and never worn out. And what an incredible place, Lord, to live in heaven where there is harmony. Harmony all the time. No disunity, no fighting, no jealousy, no sin, in a whole new world that you've made for your children. And I just thank you, Lord, that we get to be part of that. I ask you, Lord, tonight, you just touch our hearts through the psalm that we look at, in Jesus' name, amen. I have two psalms. I just want to start off in the one. We won't go through the whole one tonight, and then we'll go to the psalm that I want to go through the whole one, Psalm 38. But I want to start off in Psalm 42. This has been a psalm that over the years I have read frequently, and I think it's so important that we understand what this psalmist is making known, the insight in this psalm. It's from Psalm 42. Now, here's an interesting backstory. It was written by the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah were some of David's mighty men, and they were also singers and musicians. But their father, the fathers of Korah, are the men who rebelled with Moses in the desert. And it was so bad, the rebellion that they led with the other children of Israel they led astray, that God told Moses, get back from their tent, and he opened up the ground and swallowed them and their families alive. That was these men's grandparents. And I find it remarkable, and I want to instill hope in you that sometimes you may look back in your life and go, wow, Lord, my parents didn't do so well. That doesn't mean the kids won't. Doesn't mean the kids won't. And listen to what this man says here. As a deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and stand before God? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be when I walked among the crowds of worshipers. He's recalling before he was fleeing with David what it used to be like before they were being attacked by Saul. Why am I so discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And here's what I wanted to draw from this tonight. You and I were made by God. We were made for God. And only God can satisfy the deepest longings and the deepest desire and the deepest needs of your soul. Let me say that again. You were made by God. You were made for God. And only God can satisfy the deepest desires, the deepest needs of your soul. Most people in the entire world, throughout every generation, have gone through all their life never knowing that fact. Can you imagine that? We have been made by God, and we're made for God. And we can only be satisfied in our soul by God. Let me put it a different way. Most of us recognize that the body is sustained by food. Of course, the way most Americans eat, you wouldn't know that. That's another story for another day. But who in their right mind would try to live on wood chips? Anything about it? Who? We used to have a pet rabbit. My daughter Jessica, she wanted a rabbit really bad. So we had a rabbit. And we got rid of the rabbit. We got rid of the rabbit because my wife didn't want the rabbit in the cage. She thought the rabbit should run around the house. And it was a source of stress because the rabbit would chew through cords and little pooplets all over the house. Not all over. It wasn't it. She kept up on it. But it was just. But you go and get these red cedar wood chips, right, for the rabbit to bed on. But imagine if you started to eat them. Laundry soap. The human being cannot live without water. Imagine if you tried to live on laundry soap for your moisture. Water. Food and water sustain the body. But a lot of people don't realize that the real you is your soul. It's your soul. It's that moral person inside of you. That person that feels, that person that's afraid, that person that has difficulties, that person that hurts, that person that's dealing with all kinds of strain and pressure in life. And you know what a lot of people have done in their life to try to meet the need of their soul is they go to drugs or they go to alcohol or they go to all types of excesses. Not because the body is crying out, feed me 5,000 calories today. Because I don't need 5,000 calories today. But because my soul is messed up. My soul is broken. My soul needs God. But we go everywhere but to God for help. And that's what I love about the Psalms. The Psalms centers us. The Psalms help us understand this is what I need. God is what I need. God is what I need. I need God's encouragement. I need God to speak to me. I need God to listen to me. I need God's spiritual food. So the psalm I want to read over with you tonight is Psalm 138. It has meant a great deal to me over the years, and I just want to read it to you, comment on it. This is David's psalm, by the way, Psalm 138. I give thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the heavenly beings. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I will give thanks to your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, because your promises are backed by the honor of your name. When I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving strength to my soul. Every king in all the earth will give you thanks, O Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. And though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble. But he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you are with me, and you will spare my life. You will clench your fist against my angry enemies. Your power will save me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me. You made me. See, there you go again. You made me. We were made by God. We were made for God, and only God can satisfy the deepest needs and hurts and pains and issues of our soul and of our life. I love this psalm. I've been thinking about it during my this last week. And I love how David starts off here and said, I will give thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing praises before the heavenly beings. Thankfulness. Did you know your soul needs thankfulness? In your body. Your body doesn't need thankfulness. I mean, the soul affects the body. The mind and the attitude affect the body. But what really gets affected when we're thankful is our soul, the state of our soul, and the state of our mind, and the state of our spirit. When we thank God, thankfulness is an act of humility. See, thankfulness acknowledges to God, it's you that gave me these things. It's you that I have these things. It's real easy to go through our life, to be honest, and not be thankful. This last week, as I've been on my back, and it's not easy for me. It's not easy for anybody. It's not easy for anybody. But for me, I'm a fidgeter person, a mover person, and so I hobble downstairs, and I have this shelf of DVDs, and I'd forgotten that I bought, on the 70th anniversary of D-Day, I bought a 15-disc BBC series on World War II. Wow. Wow. Talk about perspective. I watched the DVD discs on the greatest war of the century, which is between the Russians and the Germans. 1 million men died at Stalingrad, Russian. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I watched 2 DVDs on Auschwitz. And tears streaming down my face, the little children that were brought there, at the human beings, the degradation, the deprivation. And I just laid in my room thanking God quietly and in my heart, God, thank you. God, thank you. Thank you for men and women who fought that kind of tyranny. Thank you for people who laid down their life that I could have what I have. Thank you, God, that one day none of this kind of stuff will happen and you'll take us to a brand new heaven and a brand new earth and none of it will go on. I could use a little more monitor, Corbin. That'd be great. Thankfulness, thanking God, well, that I'm not permanently disabled. I will sing praises before the heavenly beings. I don't know if you know this, but there are heavenly beings around us all the time. There are angelic beings, and of course, there are demonic beings. So the psalmist is saying here that I am just going to declare, Lord, my thanks and my praise to who's ever watching. I'm going to lift my praise and thanks to God. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I give thanks to your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. And you know what he means by bow? Of course, in those years, there was a temple, figuratively, and eventually there was a temple during Solomon's reign, which was after David, and they would go and they would bow. But this, what this man is talking about is a spirit of humility, that I bow, Lord. I pay you homage, Lord, because you're the king of the universe. You're the king of my life. And everything I has comes from you. And you've unfailingly loved me and been faithful to me, and you always will be faithful to me. You see, God asks us to live with the eyes of faith. It's easy. As I lay on my bed this week, and a couple, more than one morning, I get up and I try to brush my teeth, and I'd lay on the floor, and then I'd get through my shower and lay down on the floor, and I went down in the kitchen, and then this pain just like, bam, like searing hot iron in my hip and in my groin, and I'm like, I'm just kind of laying on the floor for about 40 minutes. My wife's asleep, and I'm kind of crying and moaning and rubbing this, and like, wow, this is, Lord, this is bad. And yet, as my day went on, I thought, you know, Lord, you're still faithful to me. You're still faithful to me. Because the eyes of faith, we learn not to look just at our circumstances, but we learn to look at God. God, you're good to me. And of course, if I skip to the very one of these last verses, God will accomplish his plans for my life. And God has a plan for your life. And God is working on that plan. He's working on that plan. I love this. I give thanks to you, Lord, because your promises are backed by the honor of your name. We learn to live on the promises of God. God will keep his promises. They're backed by his name. If God said it, God will do it. If God said it, God will do it. Now, are we going to be tested? Wow. Yes. Have I been tested? Oh my gosh, yes. Have I gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm losing my voice a little bit. I need a little more monitor that to help Corbin. I've gone to God many times and said, God, it just feels like you let me down, like you've abandoned me, like you failed me. But the reality is, he hasn't. I was looking over with my kids a few years ago. I received something from the Social Security Administration because now that I'm an elderly person, I guess they want me to know what I might have someday for Social Security. So they sent me my first 10 years of income. And I knew it was bad. I told my kids many times it was bad. But I just stared at this sheet of paper. Tears before I married Kathy, I grossed $3,270 in a year. A year! And I had the audacity to ask her to marry me. The following year, I grossed $4,000. The year that I married her, I made approximately $3,500, and we were expecting our first child with no insurance. Now I'm following Jesus. You got to understand, I'm following the Lord. I'm trying to live for God, and I bank my whole life. This is the truth on Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You can read the text, read what Jesus is talking about, and what he's telling his disciples. In the first 10 years of marriage, added all together, I made $90,000. I know people who make that in 1 year. I made it in 10. And I didn't have insurance with my first three kids. Now, I'm not telling you, imitate me. I'm not saying, hey, you should do the same thing, you know, Mark did. But I would tell you, do this same thing. Trust God's promises. Trust God's promises. Trust God's promises and honor God. Honor God. No matter what it costs you, honor God. Because God is going to see you through, and he's going to accomplish his purpose. When I pray, you answer me and you encourage me by giving me strength in my soul. That's really true. I've seen the Lord do that many times. Many times I've been through some things in my life, and I'm just like in tears. I'm just like overwhelmed by the strain, and I'm like, God, I've got to go do this or I've got to go do this. I don't even know how I'm going to do it. All I can do, Lord, is like step out in faith. I'm asking you, give me the strength, the emotional strength. I am so drained, but I know I need to go do this. Or I know you want me to do this. And wow, God gave me strength. Just blew my mind. This is a funny story. It's not really funny, but Kathy and I had moved up here. We'd been up here just a couple years, and it was our 10th anniversary. This is 1989. My co-pastor, Brent, had decided to go to Oregon, so he was out of the state. And Kathy and I went to this fancy restaurant. We heard it was good. We didn't know anything about the city then. It was called Four Paws in St. Paul, in this big old Victorian house. We ordered Cornish hens. I haven't done that since. And we had this white sauce. The middle of the night at midnight, the next day is Sunday. So this was Saturday, next day is Sunday morning. I'm supposed to speak. In the middle of the night, I woke up shaking uncontrollably, shaking. My teeth are chattering. My whole body's ice cold. I have diarrhea and I'm throwing up at the same time. That's fun. Try that sometime. I have food poisoning. Bad. Really, really, really bad. And I shook. And I shook. Kathy put blankets on me, a coat on me, and I'm shaking, and I'm shaking, and I'm so cold, and I'm white as a ghost, and I can't hardly stand, and I'm like, so this happened at midnight. It's going on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the service starts at 9, and I'm like, wow, Lord, Brent's gone. There's no smartphones, computers. I can't cancel the service. I got to go. I got to somehow show up. God, help me. God, I need grace for 2.5 hours. Just give me grace, grace. And I got up out of bed. I was white. It was really bad. And I got cleaned up and I got dressed. And wow, he literally gave me grace. And then I went home and it started again. I could tell you a lot of stories like that. God just... I just want you to know, God does not always give us exactly what we want at the moment, and here's what I mean. He doesn't always just change our circumstances. And sometimes that's what we'd like. We like so bad, Lord, just change my circumstances. But the one thing the Lord has never, ever, 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 ever failed to do for me is to give me grace in the moment. By grace, I mean empowerment or strength or the ability to somehow endure what I thought was going to kill me. And he got me through it. One of the most terrible times of my life, and I can't give you the details, but it happened about 7 years ago, and I had to be in a situation I did not want to be in with all my heart. I didn't want to show up for it. I didn't want to be there. I was through the roof, angry about the injustice. And I remember just getting up out of my bed, just, God, help me. Help me to show up. Help me to show up. Help me to get through it. Help God somehow bring good news by the end of this day, something. And it was horrible. And it didn't make the experience easier, but God gave me the grace. And at the end of the day, I had just slightly better news, and then eventually, 4 months later, it was over. It was over. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. I want to just cover these last couple verses, and then we'll close. I don't know... sweet way to say this. So I'll just say it. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do not let yourself get proud. Now, here's what I mean. If you're a child of God, God does not hate you. God loves you. He loves you. That's not going to change. But if you begin to be negligent of God and just sort of an arrogant individual, just self-sufficient, I don't need God. You don't develop thankfulness. That's pride. The lack of thankfulness is pride. Thankfulness is an act of humility that says, wow, thank you, Lord. I realize that's a gift from you. I couldn't have got that myself. Thank you. Humility is what brings us close to God. Humility is what brings us into a deeper experience of walking with God. But God It's kind of like a little kid. You ever see those old cartoons? You probably haven't. But in the old days when I was young, they had these cartoons of a little boy, and he'd be trying to hit the person, and the person had the hand on the head, and the kid's just hitting the air. He can't get anywhere, because that's what God will do. God will just go, I love you. I love you. But I want to see some humility. Humility. And God uses all kinds of things in our life to give us humility, because the greater the humility, the greater the grace, the greater the power that flows into our life. And sometimes, never forget the words of the Apostle Paul. When we're weak, we're really strong. Some of you here tonight, I know myself as well, we can think, wow, Lord, I'd just like this weakness to go. I'd like my weak circumstances to go. You know, the Apostle Paul had a situation which he had, what scholars believe is he had this eye disease from the blinding light that put calluses on his eyes and then they fell off. And that for the rest of his life in his public ministry, he had this pus oozing from his eyes down his face. And he begged the Lord three times, take it away. Please take this away. And every time, so these were seasons of time, not just three times, Lord, take it away, once. Lord, take it away, twice. Lord, take it away. No, that's not what it means. It means seasons of serious prayer, three different occasions in Paul's life. And every time God said, no, Paul, my grace is best when you're weak. You'll be more powerful when you're weak. And then Paul goes on to say, this is how he became convinced of it. Therefore, I've cheerfully made up my mind to be glad about my weaknesses, my difficulties, my privations, for they only mean a greater experience, the grace of God in my life. That's a life of faith. That's what we're going to have to learn to come to. Though I am surrounded by troubles, though I walk through the midst of troubles, He will save me and preserve my life and save me from my enemies. I'll close with this. Again, I can't give a lot of details. I wished I could. I've had some situations in my life with enemies, with people literally just making my life very, very extremely difficult. Painfully so. Painfully so. Very, very hard situations. Some was persecution. Some was slander. Some was just gut-wrenching accusations. And here I am, 42 years later, through many, many, many of those situations. In the midst of trouble, no matter what your trouble is, God will preserve your life. He'll help you. And we end that verse, the Lord will fulfill his purposes for you. Please don't ever forget that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you today. I thank you, Lord, today that you've kept your word to me through all these years. You keep your word to all of us. And I just ask you, Lord, that we would go in this following week into a deeper experience of our walk with God, that we'd seek you, Lord, that we'd remember that as the deer pants for water, we, our soul, needs God. Not drugs, not alcohol, not some escape. We need God. God is the escape. God is who we need. And I ask you, Lord, you just help us. Help us grow in our own walks with you. Help us grow in our own meditation and psalms. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd enrich, strengthen, and help each person here tonight that I know many are going through some very difficult times in their life. Be extra near to them this week. Comfort them and encourage them and give them strength in their soul. In Jesus' name, amen.